after learning about the death of Yochanan Hyrcanus, who we explained became a tzduki, Seif Yamav, he became a tzduki. We'll be explaining it according to Rav Shita, that the story that happened in the Gemara in Kedushin, that this Yochanan became a tzduki b'Seif Yamav, was the story that's related in the Gemara in Kedushin. So after this Yochanan died, he left over two sons, and it doesn't, it's not important to go through exactly how this happened, but both of them were Rishoyim. The first one of his sons became the king, and he appointed another one of his brothers to become the general. So eventually the son that was the general, so he was very popular because he was very successful. So the brother that was the king, he was jealous of this brother, and he had him killed. Eventually, within a year's time, that first brother also died. And so, after really a year's time, this child of Yochanan, who was a tzduki, who was a rasha, he was a reitzeach, he died, and he left over the kingdom. The one that took over the kingdom was his next brother. Now, the next brother was the person whose name was Yanai. And this Yanai, his brother had put him into jail, and as long as he was the king, this Yanai was in jail. After he died, his wife, whose name was Shleimus, and we are going to learn a lot about the Shleimus, who was an Isha that was a Tzidkonius. She was the sister of Shimon ben Shetach, and she married into the family of Yochanan, was married to Yochanan's son. Ultimately, she fell for Yibum. Her husband died, and there were no children. So she fell for Yibum, according to the halacha of Yibum, she fell for Yibum to this Yanai. And so, now we're learning about how this Yanai became the new king, and he took over the kingdom. Yanai himself was also a Rosha. He was also influenced from the Tzdukim when he took over the kingdom, and the only thing really that he had going for him was the fact that he was married to a woman who was a Tzidkonius. And we can assume that the fact that she was a Tzidkonius had a lot to do that her brother was Shimon B'Chetach, and he was always an influence on her. As we explained, after the story of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Yochanan Hyrcanus, he ordered that all of the Chachamim should be killed, and as the Gemara in Kedushin said, that's what happened until Shimon B'Chetach was Ma'azer Atar L'Yoshanan. And now we're going to learn how this came about, that Shimon ben Shetach was able to return the situation, was bring back to revive Klal Yisrael. And this, we begin with the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara tells us a story that happened in the time of Yanai Malk. So the Gemara says that Yanai, the Gemara is not Memches Amad Aleph in Brachos. The Gemara says that Yanai, the Melech, was eating a meal together with his queen, with his Malchusa, as you mentioned, the Shleimus, and they were eating bread, and because of the fact, the Gemara says that because of the fact that all of the Rabbanim were killed out, they didn't have anybody who knew the proper way to say Birchas Hamazon. So, what happened was, he said to his wife, Manyodlan Gavra de Mavarachlan. He wishes that he would have somebody that would know the proper way to say Birchas Hamazon. Amralei, so she said to him, Ishtobali, make a shvua to me, the Maisina Loch Gavra, that if I do bring you somebody, I bring you a Chacham who knows the halachas, Slay Mitzayrislay. so that you're not going to cause him tzaris. Obviously, the issue over here is that you went out to kill all of the chachamim. So if I'm going to bring back one of the chachamim, so ultimately you're going to kill him also. So promise me that you're not going to kill him, and then I'll bring back one of the chachamim. So the Gemara says that he made a shvua, and I see so l'shimen ben shetach achua. And she went and she brought out Shimon ben Shetach, her brother. So now she came, she called somehow to Shimon ben Shetach that he should come out of hiding, and he doesn't have to worry for his life. So the Gemara says the Shimon ben Shetach came, and he sat himself down between the king and the queen. He sat down between him and her. And Yanai said, look how much honor I'm giving to you. I'm allowing you to sit over here in this prominent position. So Shimon ben Shetach told him, Lav at ko moikris li. You're not giving me any covet. But the Torah is the one that's giving me covet. In other words, he just said that the reason why he's getting this covet is because he's one of the Chachamim. So it's not a personal covet, but it's the covet that he's getting because of the fact that he knows Torah. Well, the first thing that we see is that this Shimon ben Shetach, and we're going to see this later on also, was kind of a fearless type of a person. Here he's ready to go and to tackle this Yanai HaMelech. It doesn't sound like he's too worried. Amalei, so then this Yanai said, I see the loy mekablis morif. He says, Morris, I see that you're the type of a person that you don't accept anybody as your master. It's like you're not willing to be pushed around. So, I guess at this point, maybe he had second thoughts about the fact that he allowed Shimon ben Shetach to come out of hiding, but it was a little bit too late. So the Gemara says that he gave him a cup in order to say Birchas HaMazon on the cup, which is interesting because you see that even at that time there was a takana that Birchas HaMazon is al hakais. And Omar, and he told Shimon ben Shetach, okay, we have the bench for us. Shimon ben Shetach, and here's why this comes into the Gemara, Shimon ben Shetach says, I can't make a bracha for you. I didn't eat anything. If I have to eat something, then I can make a bracha for you. And then the Gemara says he drank, and then the Gemara goes into the technicalities, if drinking is enough, that he should be able to bench with mezumin. So, and he should be the one that's mezamin, and we're not going to go into that part of the Gemara. But the Ika, this is the story, so to say, that broke the ice. I guess the way to understand the story is that perhaps, I mean, if this L'chaira was not the first time that they were eating since the time that the Chachamim were chased away, especially if we're assuming that the one that Shimon ben Shetach ran away in the time of Yochanan Hyrcanus, and since Yochanan Hyrcanus, there was a year that his sons were Melech, and now you have Yanai being the Melech. So Shimon ben Shetach obviously was in hiding for a while, for a couple of years. In that time must have been people that were eating, and now all of a sudden there's a problem of Birchas HaMazon. So we have to assume that there was a certain technicality, b'negeya to Birchas HaMazon, that they didn't know. It wasn't that they didn't know B'chlal had a bench. Yanai knew how to bench, but there was a shiloh that came up, b'negeya to Birchas HaMazon, and they didn't have who to pask in the shiloh. And normally you go to the Chachamim to pask in the shiloh, and now they realize that they don't have a pesik, they don't have a chacham, and that's the reason that they were stuck. And therefore, this is how this story came about. Now, once Shimon ben Shetach was back, so Shimon ben Shetach got to work. Here he is, he's a person that the Melech now promised that he's not going to take revenge from him. So somehow he's going to be able to survive under this Yanai. His sister is the Malko, and little by little he had a free hand to some degree, and he tried to revive the situation, like we saw in the Gemara and Kiddushin, that it was Shimon ben Shetach that ultimately brought back the situation to the way it was before. Remembering, of course, that Yochanan killed out a good deal of the Chachamim, probably most of the Chachamim. So now he had a tremendous job in trying to bring back Klal Yisrael to the situation that it was before. So, one thing that he did, and this is spoken about in Megillah's Tainis, when the Chachamim were, when Yochanan, Hyrcanus killed out the Chachamim, so there still was a need for a Sanhedrin. Because when different issues came up, Mumnistic issues or all kinds of issues came up, so they came to the Sanhedrin. Yochanan Hyrcanus was a Tzaddik, so the people that he put into the Sanhedrin were all Tzaddikim, because they realized that Klal Yisrael, for the people, for the typical person, needs a Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin became a position of prominence. And they realized that it wasn't enough just to be a Kohen Gadol, and it wasn't enough even to be a Nasi. But as we mentioned, the position went over to the Talmidei Chachamim who was sitting on the Sanhedrin. So they took Tzedukim, they put him into the Sanhedrin, they claimed to be Talmidei Chachamim, and now that the Chachamim weren't found there anymore, so there was nobody around to challenge their authority. They passed in the Shilas, so who was going to question them? There was nobody there to question their decisions. But now that Shimon ben Shetach was back, so he was also noted as being a Talmud Chacham, so he sat on the Sanhedrin also. So you have Shimon ben Shetach, together with a bunch of Tzukim, sitting on the Sanhedrin. A Shaila came up, and what it says in Megillah's Tainis is that they went around the Sanhedrin, and Shimon ben Shetach said, okay, here's our Shaila, so who could bring a Raya from the Gemara, who could prove it, or from a Mishnah, from a Pasuk, from a Drasha, to what the Halacha is? Now, they sat there, they couldn't prove anything. They weren't Talmidei Chachamim, they didn't know anything. So Shimon ben Shetach says, well, if you're a person, he said to one of the Dayanim, if you don't know how to learn, then obviously you can't sit on the Sanhedrin. And I guess he showed him, there's a simple Raya from this Pasuk, or we can make this Drasha, and so forth. And he said, the fact that you didn't know this, obviously you're not a learned person, so you can't sit on the Sanhedrin. And somehow you couldn't argue with him about that. So this Tzaddik stepped down, and Shimon ben Shetach went to look for another Talmud Chacham, a person who was a Talmud Chacham, and put him on the Sanhedrin to replace him. And by doing this, he went through the whole Sanhedrin, and he saw to it that the Tzaddikim, one by one, should be taken off of the position on the Sanhedrin and replaced by true Chachamim. And that way, little by little, and that's what it says in Megillah's Tainis, that when he finally succeeded to replace the whole Sanhedrin, so that became a day of Simcha in Klal Yisrael. But this was a plan that he was working on, and this was the first thing that he did. He knew that he had to replace the Sanhedrin that was made up of Tzukim, and to replace the Sanhedrin with Talmidei Chachamim from the Purusha. The Gemara also says that Shimon ben Shetach made different types of takonis, all different types of takonis. The takonis that he made was, first of all, he made a takona, benegeya to a ksuba, that a person could do business with his wife's ksuba. He also made a takona, benegeya to kleis huchis, to glass kalim, that they could become tomei. So these are very technical halachas. And also, he made takonis that, and this is, we're just quoting Yerushalmi, He made also a takana that all children should go to yeshiva. Sounds like kind of a modern kind of a takana, but the truth of the matter is, this takana that all children should go to yeshiva, the one that instituted this takana was none other than Shimon ben Shetach. And the history of this takana is very, very interesting. As we mentioned, the Yerushalmi says that Shimon ben Shetach made this takana. In the Bavli, it says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla is the one that made this takana. So we're just going to study this a little bit and show how the truth of the matter is that both of them are true. We first have a Gemara in Yevamis on the Samad Aleph, and the Gemara talks about it's a Mishnah in Yevamis and Daf Samach Aleph Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says that if a person marries an almana and afterwards he becomes a Kohen Gadol, so we know that a Kohen Gadol is usur on an almana, is not allowed to marry an almana. But what happens if he married the almana before he became the Kohen Gadol? And then he became the Kohen Gadol, so the halacha is that he's allowed to remain married. The Mishnah says even that he's allowed to make nisuin on the Sisha, meaning that the Erisim was made before he became a Kohen Gadol. And then the Mishnah says, Ma'aseh Yeshua ben Gamla, Shekidish es Marsa bas Baisum, Umineu HaMelech Liyos Kohen Gadol. And afterwards, the Melech appointed him to be a Kohen Gadol. So we have here a story. The Mishnah is bringing down Araya, because you see that you see the story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, that he was Mekadish, this woman Marsa by Spaisus, and she was an almana, and afterwards he was appointed to become the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says Bnei Geya to this Mishnah. So the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Yosef, Kate Kochazina Hocha. This actually was a plot. You have to follow the Hampshire of the Gemara, but this is what the Gemara says. This was a plan. What does this mean? What was the plan? The Amar Rav Asi, Taka Bada Dimri, Aile Marsa Bas Baisun Sliyanai Malka, a basketful of dinarim, of pieces of gold, were given by Marsa Bas Baisus to Yanai HaMelech, Ad Demuki Lele Yeshua Ben Gamla B'Kehani Ravavi. Until Yanai HaMelech was maskim to make of Yeshua Ben Gamla that he should become the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara tells us that this was a position that was bought by Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Now, first of all, we need to study this just a bit, that we know from the Maisa, that Yanai HaMelech, he was the one, especially based, if you learn that the Maisa in Kedushin was with Yanai HaMelech, that Yanai HaMelech himself was the Kohen Gadol. Now, who is this? What's happening over here that Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla is becoming the Kohen Gadol? So in the Sefer Doros Rishonim, he has an arichus on this whole inyan, and he explains, and brings many, many rayas, that actually there was more than one Kohen Gadol. We have this in Mishnayos also. There was more than one Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had different positions. There was the Kohen Gadol who was the one who went into the base Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur and did the Avodah. There also was a Kohen Gadol that took upon himself different technical responsibilities. So even though Yanai HaMelech took upon himself the position of Kohen Gadol, but when it came to, we might say, running the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis, so for that he gave the position over to somebody else, and he explains that there were always two parallel people running as Kohen Gadol. being as it may, but what we have over here is that the Gemara is telling us that the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla became Kohen Gadol, so this was a plot. This was a born position, a position that he acquired by giving money. Now, the Gemara in Bava Basra on Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph. So here is the Gemara that says in the top of the Yomid, the Gemara says that Pekonas of Yeshua ben Gamla be'elech. So from the time of Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla be'elech, so from then on you had all of the children learning Torah. And the Gemara says Zohar Eisei Ha'ish L'Tayv, that we have to remember Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla L'Tayv. And the reason for this is because this wonderful thing that he did. Now, let's just see the Gemara here a little bit, and then we'll come back to explain it. The Gemara says that, the Gemara says, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Baram, Zachar Eisei Ha'ish L'Tayv, the Yeshua Ben Gamla Shemayim. Why does he get such tremendous credit? Shemalei Hu Nishtakach Teiru Yisrael. If it wouldn't have been for him, Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara goes to explain. In the beginning, the Gemara says, every person used to learn with his child Torah. And if a person did not have a father, so there was just nobody to teach him Torah, the proper way to learn Torah is from your father. If there's no father, so then you can't learn Torah. And the reason is because we dash in the Pasuk, the Imarat HaMaisam, that this is, that you have to teach your own son. Then afterwards they made a takona that there should be Melamde Tanoikos in Yerushalayim, because there were people that weren't able to learn with their children, they weren't capable of learning with their children, so they set up a cheder in Yerushalayim, a yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and the people went to Yerushalayim to learn Torah. Why did they set it up in Yerushalayim? Because they darshened ki mitziyan teitzei Torah. So, being that ki mitziyan teitzei Torah, so you have to learn Torah in Yerushalayim. So the father now used to send his son up. The father himself didn't know how to learn. He sent his son up to Yerushalayim to learn in Yerushalayim. But the Gemara says, "Va'adayin mishiyesh layav." If a person had a father, so then the father would bring him up to Yerushalayim. What about a person who did not have a father? So there was nobody to bring him up to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says the next thing that they did was that they set up yeshivas in every area, every big city, and the fathers would bring the children when they were 16 or 17 years old, they would bring him into this yeshiva to learn. And the Gemara says that if a child was learning in the yeshiva, he first joined up with the yeshiva when he was 16 or 17 years old. And if the situation was that the student misbehaved and he was sent out of yeshiva, so he left the yeshiva. And he just didn't have where to go. There was no place to learn. And the Gemara says, Ad Shebo Yeshua ben Gamla, until Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla came, the Tikun Shiyu Meishivim Balambe Tinoikis Bechol Medino, Medina Bechol Ir Be'ir, they made it so that there should be Melamde Tinoikis in every city, and in every city and in every country. Umachnis Anoisam Keben Sheish Keben Sheva. And they used to bring in the students from the time that they were very young, from the time that they were six, or the time when they were seven. Now, Kayim Kol, what we're learning here in this Gemara is that it was Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla that instituted the fact that there should be yeshivas all over. Now, this has to do with what we were discussing originally, that this came about because of the situation of the Amei Ha'aretz. And as we explained, the Kusim, the Tztukim, and the Misyavnim, who were the wealthy people, So they attracted the Amei Haaretz. There were people living all over Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know how to learn. They themselves didn't warrant learned. They didn't go to yeshiva. To make matters worse, they didn't learn. Therefore, they weren't able to learn with their children. And so the situation was, little by little, there was developing a nation of Amei Haaretz. And that's a problem in itself. If you have people who are not learned, but to make the situation even worse, these people who aren't learned, they automatically were attracted by the tzedukim. So, we needed to make a stop to the situation. And the way to make a stop to the situation where more and more people, and let's try to use our language, more and more people were becoming fried. They were going away from the Derech HaTorah. And the simple analyzation of this, well, there were people who b'shita were tzedukim, b'shita were mesyavnim, but they weren't a multitude of people. The multitude of people were just simple people that were just simply drawn away from the Derech HaTorah because they just didn't have an education. And the way to resolve the problem is just learn with them. You don't have to do. I mean, it's a big deal, but it's kind of not a big deal. Just learn with them. And if you learn with them, so just learning with them alone, that's what's going to do the trick. So this is what this Gemara is saying, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla, he saw to it that you got to learn with everybody. And this system, it's so let the fathers learn with their kids. Well, that can't be anymore because the fathers themselves are Maratzim. Well, let them go up to Yerushalayim, as it says in the Pasuk, Yimitzian Tetzeisayra. Well, that also didn't apply. It didn't work. The system of bigger kids going to yeshiva also didn't work. Well, if that doesn't work, so then we just got to do something that does work. And what they did was to set up yeshivas in all the different cities. Now, the simple explanation is, as he mentioned in the Yerushalmi, it says that this was the takana of Shimon ben Shetach. So the simple explanation, now we see how all these Gemaras come together. We mentioned that Shimon ben Shetach, he made different takonas. He was from the Rabbonim. He wasn't a person of prestige amongst the dignitaries of the time. After all, he was a refugee. He just came back into Eretz Yisrael. So if he made a takona b'negeya to a kli zchuchis, a glass keli, that's makabel tumah, okay, so that's okay. That's fine. That's a technical issue, and the tzukin can live with that. If he made a takona b'negeya to the ksuba b'nishim, that's also okay. But Reb Shimon ben Shetach should organize an institution throughout Eretz Yisrael, and from now on, every single child has to go to learn Torah. So that Reb Shimon ben Shetach wasn't able to institute. He didn't have the power in order to institute such a thing. The one that can institute is a person of prestige found in Eretz Yisrael at that time. And later, now that just the Chachomim were first being revived, so the Chachomim weren't the people of prestige. So he needed somebody who was a prestigious person. So this now was the plan that was devised. Shimon ben Shetach, in order to be able to fiduch this plan of having everybody learn Torah, so the first thing he did was, he thought with Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla should become the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shimon Gamla wasn't necessarily from the major Talmidei Chachamim that were found in Eretz Yisrael, but he was a prestigious person. He bought his way into the Kuna Gedola, which is something that the Tzedukim, that's a language they understood. He didn't become the Kohen Gadol because he was the most appropriate person to become the Kohen Gadol. He became the Kohen Gadol because he paid his way in. As we mentioned, this is a Tzedukim way of doing business. But once he got in, so now he was fed by Shimon ben Shetach that this is what we need to do, make a proclamation. And you're the one that could do it because you're the Kohen Gadol. So he made a proclamation, and the proclamation was that everybody should learn Torah. Now, the Tzedukim, they weren't suspicious of this. What is he doing? They didn't preach these yeshivas that they set up all over, they didn't preach against the tzedukim, they didn't talk against the tzedukim. You know what they learned in the yeshivas? They learned Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basra, Brachis, Shabbos, Erevin. That's what they learned. They learned Torah. They learned the same Torah they read. They learned Bereishis, Shmais, Vayikra. But Shimon ben Shattach knew this secret. We know the secret today also. That if you want to revive the Metziah of Klal Yisrael, you want to rebuild Klal Yisrael, so that ultimately, and this is just one part, that ultimately they're going to understand on their own that the derech of the tzedukim is not the derech HaTorah, is not the derech that Ribbono Shel'Olam wants, and you can't talk about it outright because they won't let you. So it's not, you don't have to, just learn with the people, just learn with the children, see to it that all of the children should learn Torah, and that itself is going to revive Klal Yisrael. And that was the master plan of Rav Shimon ben Shattach. And as I say, that's the master plan we use today also. We know this trick even today. You want to get people to become a Shomer Shabbos, so you don't have to preach them about being a Shomer Shabbos. Just get them to learn. And if then, and you just learn with them. Learn with them Chumash, Rashi, Gemara, Mishnayos. First build them up. Then they themselves, ultimately, they're going to come and they're going to want to know. And they themselves are going to come back to the Derech HaTorah. They themselves are going to want to know on their own the Derech HaTorah. So, this is what the Gemara is teaching us. And there's one other interesting point, I think, that we need to take out of this Gemara. The Gemara says that in the beginning, every father learned with his son, as it says in the Pasuk. Afterwards, they went up to Yerushalayim, as it says in the Pasuk. And afterwards, they were masakin, that they should have yeshivas in every different city, and they should have, and even younger children should come into the yeshivas. So we see clearly in the Gemara that this is a must, that Klal Yisrael needs that there should be Liman HaTorah going on all the time. And if Liman HaTorah goes on constantly, so that's going to bring the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. It would seem that Shimon ben Shattach's plan was a successful plan. Little by little, he built up the spirits, the teich of Klal Yisrael, and little by little, Klal Yisrael came back. There's an interesting Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. And for this Gemara, it would seem that Shimon ben Shattach was ultimately gained tremendous prestige and gained a tremendous amount of power, even amongst, even as far as Yanai was concerned, as far as all of the people in Eretz Yisrael were concerned. Because the Gemara tells over a story as follows. The Gemara says that Shimon ben Shattach, Yanai HaMelech had an Eved, and this Eved went and killed somebody. Now this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says that Melech Leidon Leidonin Oysay, you don't bring a Melech to Mishpat, and the Gemara says that Malchus Yehuda you do, Malchus Yisrael you don't, and the Gemara goes now to explain why a Melech not from Yehuda you don't bring to a Bezdin in order to be done. And the Gemara says that it's because of a certain story that happened. And the story was as follows. The Eved of Yanai HaMelech killed somebody. So Shimon ben Shattach said to the Chachamim, the other members of the Sanhedrin. So now we have a Sanhedrin made up of Talmidei Chachamim. Obviously, this is further on in the story. Shimon ben Shetach is back. Shimon ben Shetach was able to revive the Sanhedrin. And now the members of the Sanhedrin were Talmidei Chachamim. So he said, Shimon ben Shetach said to the Chachamim that we have to go and bring him and we have to judge him in front of the Beis Din. So they sent a messenger to Shimon, to Yanai HaMelech, and they told him, your Eved killed somebody. Send us your Eved for judgment, and also you should come. You have to come also. Because it says in the Pasuk that Vehu ad Bevolov Amra Tayri Yove Balashor V'yamed al Shoyri. If you have a possession, a person has a possession, and this possession killed somebody, so the Balabos has to come together with his possession, whether it be a Shor or an Eved, he has to come together with his possession for the Din Tayri. So Yanai came. So then, Yanai was there, together with his Eved, and with being done this Eved, and then, the Gemara says as follows. Amalei Shimon ben Shetach, Yanai HaMelech, Amoid Arag Lecha, stand up on your feet, V'yoiduboch, and we are now going to bring testimony about your Eved, that your Eved killed somebody. So, and what we're telling him, what he was telling Yanai HaMelech was that stand up, you have to stand up. Now, we understand that if you tell the Melech, the Sanhedrin is sitting, and you're telling the Melech that he has to stand up, so that's an affront to the Melech, an insult to the Melech. But that's what he told the Melech. He told over to Yanai, he said, Yanai, you have to get up. And then he told, V'loy lefaneinu ato emid. Don't think that you're standing up before us. You're standing up before the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And so you have to get up. So he's first teaching him that he has to stand up for this. You have to stand up and bathe. He's also telling him that if you want to know where the Shechina is, well, the Shechina is with the Sanhedrin, not with the Kohen Gadol, or not with the Melech, but the Shechina is with the Sanhedrin. So, it's a little bit as a Gechevet. So, Yanai HaMelech turns to Shimon ben Shetach, and he says to him, that, Loi kishe taimer ato, I'm not going to do what you say, Ela kemoi sheyoimru chavirecha, I'll do what your friends say. In other words, let's see if your friends on the Sanhedrin are masking to the statement that you're making that I have to stand up. Do they also agree that I have to stand up? Nifna l'yeminai, so he turned to his right side, to the people of the Sanhedrin standing on his right side, and the Gemara says, Kovshu Paneim Bekarka. So they turned aside. They were embarrassed, and they weren't able to look him in the face, so to say. They couldn't deny it, but they didn't have that courage to stare him into the face and tell him. And then he looked to the other side, and the people on the other side, they also turned aside. They weren't able to face up to Yanai. So the Gemara says, Amalem Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach said to these people who are together with him on the Beis Din, Balei Machshavei Zatem. You, as almost like, I guess you would say to somebody, you are dreamers. You're afraid to talk. Everything is in your mind. Yovei Bal Machshavei Zvayiframichem. Let the Baal Machshavos, and Rashi says, referring to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, let the Baal Avos, who knows the Machshavos, let him come and let him pay you back. Shimon ben Shetach was lost because he couldn't get the others in the Sanhedrin to back him. So he said, well, we're going to let the Baal Machshavos make the decision. The Yad, so the Gemara says, the Yad, Bo Gabriel, Gabriel came, Malach Gabriel came, v'choftan b'karka u'meisu. and he killed the other people on the Sanhedrin. And the Gemara fears I say Sha'omru, Melech Leidon, Leidon Maisei Leimeid, Leimeidin I say. So we can't do this anymore. We can't take these people into a Sanhedrin. But what do we see here in this Maisa? We see that Shimon ben Shetach reached a position of prominence that he stood up to Yanai. And obviously Yanai didn't threaten his life after the situation. The others didn't have the same courage as he had, but at the same time, it would seem that Yanai didn't have the courage to stand up against Shimon ben Shetach either, in order to chase him out of Eretz Yisrael, as was done in the past. Perhaps because he didn't have enough power amongst the people. Perhaps because Yanai at this point wasn't on that level of Rishus that he was on before, and he had that derech eretz, so to say, for Shimon ben Shetach, that he really just wasn't ready to do that. There were different stories that took place, but the ikar what we need to know is that Josephus brings that ultimately this Yanai was married to the Shloimis. So as you mentioned, Shloimis was a very big influence on Yanai, but she was much older than Yanai. She was a good 20 years older than Yanai. And ultimately, when she was getting older and he was younger, and they bring down that he was a person that enjoyed the company of the Tzdukim because of the immoral life that they lived, which was more up his alley than the living the life that the Prushim lived. So, the Tzdukim, so they sort of figured that they're going to buy their time, and they're going to wait, and they figured that sooner or later, and probably sooner more than later, they're going to figure out a way in order to cause another major break between Yanai and the Chachamim. And so, as time went on, and they saw that little by little, Yanai was becoming more and more one of them, so to say, and less and less one of the Chachamim, so they felt that they were again in a position to be able to push Yanai towards the end, you know, to just push him towards the brink, so to say, and in order to force a situation, like was done by Yechanan in the Gemara and Kedushin, to force a situation where there'll be a break. Now, this is a Maisa that's brought down in the Gemara in Sukkah on that Memches Amid base. But the Gemara in Sukkah just says that there was a story with a Tzduki, this is what he did. There's just really a very short version of it in the Gemara. But in the way the story is brought down by the historians, by Josephus, so there you have the story brought down in greater length. And over there also, Josephus tells us that this Tzduki that they're talking about was Yanai HaMelech. It wasn't just any Tzduki, but the story took place with Yanai HaMelech. And this is the way he tells over the story. But again, it's not different than what it says in the Gemara in Sukkah on that Memches Amid Beis. It's a greater elaboration on the story. We know that the Gemara over there in Sukkah discusses the halacha of Nisuch Hamayim, Shaft Hamayim, B'Sosay Mimayne HaYeshua, that when it comes Sukkis, Simchas Beis HaShayeva, so there's a mitzvah of Nisuch Hamayim. By the way, the mitzvah of Nisuch Hamayim is not from a pasuk that we have in the Torah, but this goes into Torah Shebal Peh. This we know, the mitzvah of Nisuch Hamayim, we know from Torah Shebal Peh. And and once again, this is a mitzvah of being menaseich mayim al gabei hamizbeach. Normally it's yayin or shemen, but when it comes to sukkis, so then we're menaseich mayim al gabei hamizbeach. So what it says is that this honor of being menaseich the mayim al gabei hamizbeach was given to the Kohen Gadol. And the Kohen Gadol that did this, we mentioned there were two Kayanim Gedolim. The Kohen Gadol that did this was the Kohen. This was now a more of a job, so to say, being that all of Klal Yisrael used to come up to the Beis Hamikdash. There were Oile Regel, and it was Simchas Beis Hasheva. Everybody used to come because of the tremendous Simcha that took place in the Beis Hamikdash. So this was a job for the Kohen Gadol, who was the one who was the more prominent of the Kohanim Gadol, the more honorary Kohen Gadol. So he had the job of Nisuch HaMayim. Yanai, instead of being Menasech Demayim Al Gabei HaMizbeach, was Menasech Demayim Al Gabei Raglov. He poured the water on his feet. Now, here we're just going to put in something, no basis for this klal, why he did this. Maybe he did it because he felt like doing it. We're going to be nice, and not very nice, but we're going to be nice, and we're going to say that he did it because he wanted to see if the Eden, are going to be loyal to him. I mean, after all, he was the Melech, and he was a good Melech, and Nisuch HaMayim is not even a pasuk in the Torah. So let's see what the people are going to do. If they'll be loyal to him, it's fine. If they're not going to be loyal to him, so Josephus brings down that he had an army, Yanai. By the way, this we know from the Gemara also. Yanai was a tremendous general, and he built up an army not only from Eden, but he built up an army of foreigners also. Well, here, when he came into the Beis HaMikdash, he took along these foreign troops with him. He must have known that the local troops, Yiddish troops, are not going to be helpful in this situation. So he brought these foreign troops with him, and he wanted to see what the Yidden are going to do. He poured the water on his feet, and it says that the people standing around were so aghast at what he did that they, standing there, they took their esregim and they pelted him with their esregim. So much so that the Gemara in Sukkah says that they chipped the corner of the Mizbeach. But they pelted him with their esregim. Well, when Yanai saw the reaction of the people, so he signaled to his troops, and once again these foreign troops, and they went and they killed out thousands of the Agav. Let's stop for a moment and be sad at what happened to these thousands of Yidden, and at the same time be proud. This is what we talk about when we say that Klal Yisrael is an Am Kshei Yerif. They knew if you pelt the king with a Sroyim, so it's Achas Dosei, that you're not going to come out of this in one piece. Is there a chiyuv of Mesiras Nefesh or of Vayavar because of Nisuch HaMayim and Echvais was, I don't know, there's a whole lot of things that you could think about. But it wasn't a geya. They saw that what Yanai was doing wasn't Nisuch HaMayim Araglov. What this was the Shas HaShmat. What he was doing was, he was confronting, so to say, the whole situation. This was an affront to everything that's choshev to us. The ganze Torah Sheval Peh is what Yanai HaMelech was standing up to. And if that's what he was standing up to, was Torah Sheval Peh, this is a Shas HaShmad, and this, you do what you didn't have. They didn't have any weapons with them, they didn't expect it. So they took whatever they could and they pelted him with their esregim. So this is the Am Kishei Erev. This is what Klal Yisrael is capable of doing when you mess with their Torah. Well, be it as it may, when he saw the Mesiras Nefesh of Yidden, with how far they're willing to go in order to uphold the Messiah that they had in Torah Sheba'al Peh, and upholding the Messiah of Torah Sheba'al Peh was more choshev to the Eden than even King Yanai, the great King Yanai. So now he turned against the people, and once again he became a tremendous enemy to all of the people that were all around. It would seem that after this story that took place, so this was Gairim, that once again, this Yanai, he became a Tzeduki, once again became a full-fledged Tzeduki, and he went to do battle with the Purushim. He went to do battle with what we would call today the Frumiyin. Now, the only saving factor is that this was already towards the end of his life, and although in the last couple of years of his life he did tremendous damage to Bnei Yisrael, and there's all different kinds of stories of horrendous things that he did. Klal Yisrael went and did different things in order to protect themselves, in order to be able to fight back. At the end, like all of the Rishoyim, he died, and he died with regrets on his mind. And the way Josephus brings down the story is that he called his wife, this Shlomis, and told her that after he dies, so first he said she didn't tell anybody, he didn't want that they should pravag on Simcha when he died. But whatever, he died, and he advised her that in the future he sees that the sympathy of the people is v'dafka together with the Chachamim, and the way to be successful, so to say, into ruling over Klal Yisrael is only to go together with the Chachamim. Those were his dying words. So it was through the efforts of Shimon ben Shetach and the influence of his sister, the Shlomis, that in the time of Yanai there were many different takonis that were able to be made in order to help revive, so to say, the spirit of Klal Yisrael after going through the situation of Yochanan Hyrcanus and Yanai and the two sons of Yochanan Hyrcanus. So there was a rebuilding stage. In the time of Shimon ben Shetach, there was a rebuilding stage that took place in Klal Yisrael. Now, there's one other takana that I would like to discuss. One of the things that Shimon ben Shetach did, which was very important, and it has a bearing with something else that took place in the life of Shimon ben Shetach that we didn't discuss. That is that when Shimon ben Shetach, when this story took place, the original story took place with Yochanan Hyrcanus, and he chased out the Chachamim. So we mentioned that his sister hid, Shimon ben Shetach's sister was able to hide him. The Nasi at that time was Rabbi Shua ben Prachya. Rabbi Shua ben Prachya, he was Shimon ben Shetach's Rebbe. He was the Nasi, and if you look in the Mishnah in Ovis, so he was the Nasi before, in the generation before Shimon ben Shetach. He was older than Shimon ben Shetach. So Rabbi Shua ben Prachya, when this pogrom took place, so he took some of his Talmidim with him, and he ran away to Mitzrayim. After the coast cleared, so to say, and Shimon ben Shetach was invited back in through Shlomis and in the time of Yanai HaMelech, so he sent a message to Rabbi Shua ben Prachya, and he told Rabbi Shua ben Prachya, so to say, the coast is clear, there's a whole Lashon that he used, but he sent a message to Rabbi Shua ben Prachya, and he notified to Rabbi Shua ben Prachya that he should come back to Eretz Yisrael. And I think that the next time we're going to discuss the Rabbi Shua ben Prachya's coming back into Eretz Yisrael, he came back, he took over his position as the Nasi. Once again, the one that was able to function more in Eretz Yisrael, so to say, at that time was Shimon ben Shetach, because of the iskarvis that he had to Yanai HaMelech. But Rabbi Shua ben Prafia was still the Nasi until Seif Yomav, and then afterwards, Shimon ben Shetach is the one that took over for him. Now, we find this is a Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav, a story that took place in the time of Shimon ben Shetach, and this is also brought down, this story is brought down in Rashi in Sanhedrin, in Mem Dalet Amid Beis. It's a whole long story, and basically the story goes as follows, and we're not going to go through the whole story, but we're going to see why it is that we're mentioning this Maisa. The Maisa goes about that there was a certain person that he went up to Shemayim, and when he got to Shemayim, so he was told that Shimon ben Shetach, he was a Talmud of Shimon ben Shetach, and he was told that Shimon ben Shetach is osed to be in Gehenna. So he came back, and he told over to Shimon ben Shetach that he heard in Shemayim that he's doing something wrong, and that he's designated to end up in Gehenna. So Shimon ben Shetach found out that the reason was because there were machashefais that were found in Eretz Yisrael, because there were machashefais that were found in Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't take care of those machashefais, he didn't kill them out, so because of that, he's responsible, Shimon ben Shetach is responsible, and therefore, because he's doing such a terrible thing, and he's not taking care of these machashefais, so because of that, he's worthy of such a terrible punishment. So it says the whole system that Shimon ben Shetach, how he was able to capture these 80 machashefais, and he had them killed, and then the relatives of these machashefais went, and they took nekama from Shimon ben Shetach. So this was one of his accomplishments, that he killed out these 80 machashefais. In the Yerushalmi, when the Yerushalmi brings us down the same story, so the Yerushalmi says that even though we have a halacha, ein donim shnayim b'yoyim echad, we have a halacha that you can't be done two machshefes b'yoyim echad, and he was done many, many more, elo shasho tzricha l'chein. But this was the situation was a dire situation, and because it was a dire situation, so therefore he did it. We see that in the time of Shimon ben Shetach, there was a problem with machashefes. Machashef loisachaya, there's a pasuk in the Torah, this is a kishev macha, magic kishev macha, and a kishev macha is also to, their mechuyev misa. And we see even the Lashon of the Yerushalmi that this was like an emergency situation. This was not normal. It was, I guess, it happened sometimes that there was such a thing as a machashef or machashefa. But over here you had 80 machashefas. You had 80 machashefas. So Ibazoi, this was an emergency situation. They took emergency measures, and therefore they killed them out all in one day. Now, the question is, how did this happen? All of a sudden, there springs up machashefes in Klal Yisrael. We've been talking about the Tzdukim by Susim, the Siavnim, the Greeks, and the Chreis, and so forth and so on. Where did these machashefes come from, that all of a sudden we have a new problem in Klal Yisrael, that there was like a heroic shor that Shimon ben Shetach had to take in order to clear Klal Yisrael of these machashefes? So once again, Yitzhak Hashem, we'll talk about this next time, and we are going to talk about the fact that this is the seeds of what is called the Gnostics, which has a tremendous bearing and influence on Christianity.